Okay, Mr. West Tuttle, thank you. Get us into a nice worship momentum. You know, the next time the Dallas Cowboys play at noon, I'm not even going to worry about it. Okay. Revelation 22. We'll just make some more headway tonight and make our way on into this. Okay. Let's talk about a little prayer request and things. First of all, we do need to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards and family. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. Need to be in prayer for the Daigs as they continue in their travel. Need to be in prayer for Pat. Haven't heard any more. John and I are having trouble reaching him, and that's unusual. And so we don't really know what's going on. I'm sorry. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll have done something. But even John got on his Facebook with Pat and it wasn't nothing mentioned. So I don't know how Julie got that and about her having malaria. Okay.
No, nothing mentioned.
And you got it on your.
It comes in her email and tells you have a message and it shows you the message.
Okay. Okay.
But it was with Ray Gospel Mission.
Okay. All right. So we need to definitely be in prayer for Pat and Dan. They're in Chipinge right now where Stuart was and ministering with his wife and the church there. Then they'll leave Chipinge in Zambia and then they'll head over to Ghana with Joe and James and all of them. So, be in prayer for them as they travel. Jim, do we know how much we got Sunday on the offering for the Lurisis? Okay. All right. Okay. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer and move into our study. Heavenly Father, we live in a battle day by day, and in the Gospel of John 16, we're beckoned by the Lord of so many challenges and things that are going to go on, but you have given us the assurance of eternity, not just eternal life, but told us a lot of things about eternity. So Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see as we close out this great book. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation 22:6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. We went through the faithful and true. We looked at the meaning of faithful. It's a predicate adjective that makes an assertion about the subject. The subject here, the book of Revelation, and the declaration about these words in the book of Revelation, they are faithful, worthy of our belief, and worthy to be trusted, worthy to put your confidence, your hope, even build your life in. True is also a predicate adjective and is opposed to lying or exaggeration. These are real. This is reality. What we're looking at here is reality. Okay, now let's just continue the verse 6 now, the next phrase. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets. This is a reference to Jesus Christ, who is the source of all of this. Therefore, you have the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives it all. We know that from Revelation 1:1. And it goes something like this. I don't know what happened to either of my pens. None of them.
There you go.
There we go. There's one hiding. There we go. It goes very simple from Revelation 1, verse 1. You've got from God the Father to God the Son, Jesus Christ, and then from Jesus Christ it goes through His Holy Spirit. So we'll put Holy Spirit, and then we'll put angel, and then we put man, namely John. And that's how the flow of all of this goes. And then it says the Spirit of the prophets, the spirits of the prophets. Again, this is a reference to spiritual gifts of the prophets. The plural spirits of the prophets, spiritual gifts of the prophets, communication. Let's note a few passages. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14 first. 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to read verse 12. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church, the assembly. Now look down at verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets, the holy spiritual gifts. And to add to that, a very important passage, let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. I can just tell you right now, when we finish Revelation and then finish the basic introduction, would be maybe four or five lessons. I think after 35, 36 years in the ministry, I'm going to be ready just to read and walk through a lot of the epistles. It'll almost be like an outline study, like a survey study that we did many, 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 many years ago. Let's see, Jim, you were here, and y'all were here for it, and you were here, okay. So you can pull out those old notes, but it'll be a little more detailed than that. But that's what I'm thinking about doing. Just kind of familiarize ourselves with a lot of the passages. By now, you should have found 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of Christ, within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Okay, why does John, Jesus Christ, in Revelation 22, why does he say this? Okay, he says this because it is so important, vital, people, to know the source of this book. This book is not from man, not from the mind of man, not from the imaginations of man, but from God. And after 35 years just going through, I mean, man couldn't do this. Man could not orchestrate 66 books, different authors, different time frames of history, and just keep threads and back and forth, all these things that are done. Look at 2 Peter 1. Very important passage. 2 Peter 1. And we're going to read verse 21. 2 Peter 1, 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So it's the Holy Spirit who gives this message. Now tomorrow night, those of you that come on Wednesday night, we're looking at the history of the Holy Spirit. And you're recalling from last week how one of the first issues that dealt with the Holy Spirit was inspiring of writers, and they thought everywhere from that man was that these writers were put into a trance, and the Holy Spirit just took over. just directing them, empowering them. So these are the words of prophecy, all from the Holy Spirit. Okay, now the purpose of the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 22:6. Okay, verse 6. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel, all right, here's the purpose, to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Okay, first of all, I note the importance of the angels in serving God. People, the whole thing is about angels, the spiritual warfare in the prehistoric world. And they serve God, they serve a lower creature, mankind. That's just astounding. From the standpoint of us, and even from their own standpoint, that they have to be servants of mankind. And yet, the elect angels are happy to. They are happy to be our servant, like the angel that's directing John. He's happy to do this. To show the prophets the things that there was no other way of knowing, people. No other way of knowing. The world fantasizes, makes philosophies that suit it. Have all kinds of whimsical ideas about what happens after death. And people, even Christians, this is what it's going to be like, and this is what it's going to be like, and maybe about my marriage and my life and my animals and my this and my that. And we fantasize what would be heaven to us. And we have to stay with the source of truth that is faithful and true. Jesus Christ is a source of these truths, and to deny them is to deny Jesus Christ. He says, things which must shortly take place. Some of these have already started, the church age, and it's about over. Everything from the rapture on is yet to occur in history. Everything from the rapture on is yet to occur. The seven sealed book is be opened, and the seven seals broke, and all this, and the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. All these things must take place. Unbelievable things. Unbelievable things that we've seen in this book. And if you recall last week, that's why I think we have this ending, just to assure us. Things are pretty unbelievable, but you can trust them. They are faithful, believable, and true. Reality. Let's look at chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. So this is all dealing with the mystery of God that is opening up to us. No way would we ever know these things. No way. And just comes by the revelation. All right, Revelation 22, verse 7. We have a sudden change in speakers. Jesus Christ is now going to speak. So, verse 7. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, this is something we have seen many times. God does not ask us to understand. Only trust him. Note that he does not say, blessed is he who understands the words of prophecy of this book. He says, blessed is he who heeds the words of prophecy of this book. The NASB has heeds. The King James and the NIV say keep, who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Heeds the words. Okay? Heeds the words, the Logos, of the prophecy, and that is propheteria, where we get prophecy. Primarily, prophecy is related primarily with the future, foretelling of future events. People, here again, these are faithful and true. These are from God. We can trust them. one of the great tests of who is sufficient to be God is who can tell you the future. Who can tell the future and be accurate in it? Just for fun, let's look at Isaiah 41. I just love this study in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And we're going to read verses 20 through 24. Isaiah 41, 20 through 24. That they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight. So we've got all these objectives. They may see, recognize, consider what's been prophesied and all, and gain insight as well. That the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Now he speaks to Satan. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments. Put them out here on the table. The King of Jacob says, let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. The book of Revelation tells us what's going to take place. Book of Daniel, other places, but book of Revelation. As for the former events, declare what they were. Okay, maybe you can't tell the future. Explain the past. Explain the past. How many of us can explain everything that happened in our past? We can explain failure where we failed, but just the things that happened and all, we ought to explain all these things. And then you go to history. As far as the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome. Or announce to us what is coming. Verse 23, declare the things that are going to come afterward. Book of Revelation. That we may know that you are God's. This is one of the tests of who is sufficient to be God. Explain the past, prophesy the future with accuracy. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you're of no account. I love that. You're just of no account. And your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Look at chapter 44. Chapter 44, let's read 6 through 8. Chapter 44, 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. We'll see this in Revelation 22. And there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes! Let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation. And let them declare to them the things that are coming. And the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there isn't. No other God can. No God can explain the past, predict the future, prophesy the future. Or is there any other rock? I know of one. None. I, God, know of none. One more passage. 46. Chapter 46. Chapter 46. And we're going to read 8 through 14. Chapter 46, 8 through 14. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. We'll see how Jesus Christ is on the beginning and the end. from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established. This is where all history is going, his purpose. And I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, and surely I will execute it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded, who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. And I will grant salvation in Zion, all my glory for Israel. Okay, here's just one of the multitude of things set forth by God, said the true God, apart from the false God. And that is the ability to say what has explained the past, explain what's coming up. False gods like Satan, Allah, all Buddha, all these things. There is one God, creator of all things. One God controls all things. One God provides redemption for all. One God who can explain the past and prophesy the future. This is our God. This is what makes him unique. Worship him. Keep your mind stayed on him. Read this book. Read all the books of the Bible, but this one's specially marked, earmarked. Okay, Revelation 22:7. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Book is biblion, means a roll, a volume, book. Here it represents the book of Revelation. Then we have the present active participle of tereo, he who heeds. Who heeds? Translated, does or heeds. The word actually, tereo, is used of a warden, a guard. You keep an eye on the prisoners. You keep an eye on them. Keep an eye out for their safety. To watch, to observe. Keep your eyes fixed on them at all times. We do not do anything to make this prophecy come true. We do not do anything about the seals. We do not do anything, any of these things. Man just doesn't do it. It's all him. But what we do is we keep our eyes stayed on him. We're going to keep watch on what God is doing. Look at Revelation 1. It's showing how these things are all coming together now. Revelation 1, verse 3. Revelation 1, 3. Blessed is he who reads. Just read. And those who hear the words of prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. And there again in Revelation 22:7. We'll see it again in verse 9, by the way. Now the question comes up. How do we guard? How do we heed these words? Okay, here's how. By reading them, by studying them, thinking or meditating on them, believing them, and finally, living our lives according to them. No fear of death. No fear of eternity. The boldness, the joy of living our lives. So how do you heed these words? By reading them, studying them, meditating on them, believing them, and living your life according to them. By not getting so caught up in the world, we lose sight of the certainty of the fact that God has a plan. Stress, anxiety, depression in a believer's life is in proportion to the point that they do not keep their eyes fixed on this book. Fix their eyes on the fact that Jesus Christ is in control. He has a plan. His plan is going to come to fruition. And to the degree that we lose that, even in a day, an hour, stress, anxiety, and depression set in. Solution to stress, anxiety, and depression? Heed the words of this book. Blessed is he who heeds the words of prophecy of this book. Okay, how are we blessed? How are we blessed? Well, first of all, very simply, the absence of stress, anxiety, depression. Absence of SAD. Peace. Not get all tight about life. Importance of life and all these things. Living with confidence. Even a joy. Setting our priorities in order, in accordance to the fact that God is in control and God has a plan. Even the enjoyment of this life is a blessing if you heed the books of the prophecy of this book. Let me give you three things. One, no book in all the Bible, all 66, no book in all the Bible has a more urgent call to dwell in this book than the book of Revelation. No book in all the Bible has more of an urgent call to dwell, heed, abide, think it, study it, than this book. Secondly, no book in all the Bible places as such a strong safeguard against tampering with it. No other book has the challenges and about the strong exhortation not to tamper with the book than the book of Revelation. Three, no book in all the Bible has a stronger call to keep the prophecies written in it than the book of Revelation. People, God has marked this book for our guide in and through life. He has marked it. It's just amazing, you think. 66 books. No book is like this one. No book is like this one that has such an urgency to keep your mind thinking on it. No book has, in all the Bible, a strong safeguard against tampering with it. No book in all the Bible is a stronger call to keep the prophecies written in it. Just keep your mind set on these things. God has marked this book. Okay, now we come to the phrase in verse 7. I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. Okay, Roman number 1. This refers to the second advent. It is part of God's plan for the ages. I'm going to throw you a curve. Anybody remember what chapter the second advent's in? Huh? 19. Oh boy, here, let me see. Let me give you a prize or something. Very good. 19. Deals with the second advent. And the second advent are not designed to get us out of a jam, people. The rapture is not designed to get us out of a jam. It's what the Holy Spirit's for. That's what the Word of God, Bible doctrine's for. Oh, Lord, come quickly. I've really messed up my life. No, He's not going to cause the rapture to get us out of a jam. That's not what the rapture is about. See, I sent you the Holy Spirit. I sent you the Word of God. So listen, these are for the glory of Christ. Roman numeral 2. Quickly. Quickly may be taken in one of two ways. I come quickly. I come, second advent. I come quickly. We're looking at quickly. One, it can mean soon or shortly. Or two, quickly and suddenly. Or suddenly and quickly. Actually, it means quickly, suddenly. When we say Jesus Christ is coming soon, to express more accurately, we should say something like, He is coming, and when He comes, it will happen suddenly. When He comes, it will happen suddenly and quickly. Get a feel of this? Let's look at Habakkuk. Look at Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk. And we're going to note a couple of things in the book of Habakkuk. As soon as I can find it. And let's look at Habakkuk 2. We have the concept of time as soon or shortly. Habakkuk 2, and let's read together verses 3 and 4. Habakkuk 2, verses 3 and 4. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail to occur, though it tarries. Wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the arrogant one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will continue to live by faith. You just continue to wait, continue to walk by faith. Look at chapter 1 of Habakkuk. Chapter 1, verse 2. How long? How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, but you do not deliver. What is the answer the Lord gives? You want my faith. Get your eyes off of what you want. Eyes off of what's happening. It'll happen. You just trust me. You just trust me. So, I am in verse 5. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. People is doing something today. May not look like we know what's going on, but He's doing something. You would not believe if you were told what I'm doing. This is in Habakkuk's time, but it's a principle all through history. He's doing something today. What are you doing? Doesn't look like it. I'm doing something. I'm right there. I'm at work and all of these things. Now, let's go back to chapter 2 of Habakkuk. And let's read them now with all that in mind. Like, how long? Why do you make me see iniquity? How long? Why? How long? Why? All right, let's look at chapter 2. And now we want to read again. Verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is not for the appointed time. Is yet for the appointed time. It's not your time, Habakkuk. And let's just say the rapture is not in our time, just for sake. We continue to live by faith. And I always think about those poor people who look forward to the rapture and all that, and who die at 9 in the morning and the rapture occurs at 10 in the morning. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. But we don't live waiting for the rapture. We live with heeding it. It's coming. I'm going to live my life by faith. I'm going to continue to walk by faith. So we have verse 3. For the vision is not there for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, God's plan, and it will not fail. It'll come. Though it tarries, according to man's thinking, you wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. And verse 4. But the righteous will live by his faith. Not by this certainty, oh, it's going to happen today. Well, it didn't happen today. Well, it's going to happen tomorrow. It didn't happen tomorrow. And you get more and more depressed. No, it's going to happen. Just live our life each day, one day at a time. We have the confidence, the hope, that all that God declares in the book of Revelation will happen. They're faithful and true words. We do not understand them all. As I told you, there are things in there I don't know. I didn't even try. People will guess and they'll tell you this or that. They don't know. It's just not told to us. So we may not understand what's going on, but we know all these things are leading to his plan. And people, this is why prophecy is so important. We dealt with this in our introduction, but let's just remind you why prophecy is so important. It stabilizes the believer in time. In time of historical disasters, historical uncertainty, a personal uncertainty, personal disaster, prophecy stabilizes. He's coming one day. I can't get that depressed about what's happening. He's coming one day. Doesn't matter who's president, doesn't matter who's not president, doesn't matter what happens economically, he's coming. And on that I will live. On that I will base my life. And I will enjoy my meals that I have. I will enjoy a glass of wine. I will enjoy life. Why? Not because of society, not because of the world dictates it. The world dictates, boy, you ought to be cracking up. Circumstances may dictate you to be cracking up. But I have prophecy, and I believe it, and therefore live in recognize of that fact. And it encourages us to give the gospel to unbelievers. Encourages us to spread the gospel. Now, point three. I am coming quickly. Second Advent. This statement is said three times. We have this phrase. Three times we have the phrase, I am coming quickly. First reference, verse 7. And the emphasis of the phrase is on believers living by the words of this book. The emphasis for saying it is believers living by the words of this book. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. The second reference, verse 12. The emphasis is on rewards. Now, I haven't defined the rewards, but let's just stay with that. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render every man according to what he has done. We'll see what that means in a little bit. And then the third reference, verse 20. Where the emphasis is on a believer's believing God's word. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Okay, now let's look at verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9 of Revelation 22. Verses 8 and 9, we have John's reaction to what he has heard and saw. First thing he does is fall down to worship the angel. First thing you just want to remember, man is not to worship the creature, only the Creator. We're never to worship a creature, only the Creator. Verse 8, and I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. He heard and saw, Revelation, the things. Actually, can be taken all the way back to Revelation 1, or the immediate context. And when all of this is so overwhelming, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Now, this is the second time John gets carried away with his emotions. Emotions are wonderful, but you have to keep them. You have to keep them in check. You have to keep them in the realm of reality. Enjoy them, but do not be controlled by them. Okay? Aorist active infinitive. I fell down to worship. Aorist active infinitive of pros kunao. Now I'm going to spell it for you. PROSKUNEO. This is the word for worship. We're going to learn some things about worship as we go through this. But, and the word is a compound. Pros, the prepositional prefix, means face to face. Kuneo means to kiss. To kiss. To kiss face to face. To adore. To worship. This is the Greek word for worship. Now I want you to know before we go any further, I fell down. I fell down. Aorist active negative of pipto. Means to fall. Now this was the custom at this time. But the verb shows, or supposed to show, a mental attitude in worship. I fell down is a mental attitude of what? Humility. Of humbleness before God. To humble yourself, you fall down. Now, of course, this is still practiced in many parts of the world, especially in the East. Worshippers, even of false gods, bow down to worship. This is a physical position that should be corresponded by a mental attitude of humbleness in worship. Now, I just want to say it for the record. Under Christianity, there is no holy position. There is no required position for worship. But there should be a mental attitude. Be a mental attitude of humbleness when we worship God. As you're on your knees, as you're standing up, sitting down, even lying down does not mean that God hears you because you're on your knees or somewhere else any more than He would any other position. Doesn't mean your prayers are received by God any more than in any other position. Our position has nothing to do with it in the church age. None whatsoever. God is not impressed with our position. So, I got down on my knees and prayed. I've had a few knee prayers in my life where I just shut the door and got down on my knees. And one of them was when I moved from works for spirituality to faith. It was a lot of prayer on my knees. And there's just been a few times in my life that I've gotten down and mentally, okay, God, well, I'm really going to get serious here and talk with you. This is a one-on-one, Lord. And but there's just no holy position for prayer in the Christian life. I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. John is so controlled by his emotions that he's not thinking here. He's overwhelmed by all that he's seeing and hearing that his emotions just take over. And he tries to worship the messenger. Many people even today to seek to make a big issue out of the messenger, not the message. Okay, verse 9, we have the response of the angel. And he said to me, this is the angel, do not do that. Actually, stop doing that. He's doing it, so stop doing that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book. You worship God. We're not to worship the creature, only the Creator, only God alone. Now, the angel gives three statements. First, stop doing that. Do not do that. Stop worshiping me. Now, orientation to what's going on. I am a fellow servant of yours. What a wonderful humility by an angel, super creature. Creature higher than John. And he says, I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brother, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book. Okay, first look when John had already been straightened out on this point. Look back at 19, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 10. Some people suspect it's the same angel from chapter 1 all the way through. And I have no problem with that. So it would be the consistency of the voice and the relationship that John had. Verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, do not do that. Stop doing that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now what I want to do, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I want you to, let's look at chapter 19, verse 10 and 22:9, just to see some different things that are said with the same circumstance. John falls down to worship this angel, the messenger, and the angel replies, do not do that. Stop doing that. Both of them. Both. I put both verses. 19:10, 22:9. Why not? I am a fellow servant of yours. Both verses. And your brethren. Both verses. Now in 22:9, he adds the prophets. He adds the prophets. And your brethren who hold, now here in verse 22:9, who heed. Here it's hold, there it's heed. Hold is echo, means to have and to hold. Heed means to guard. So it's not a real big difference, but nevertheless he changed the words. Since you have this book, hold on to it, guard it, heed it. Then he adds here in 19:10, he adds here, the testimony of Jesus. 22:9, the words of this prophecy, this book, this prophecy. Okay, which again is what this book is about. Heeds the words of the prophecy of this book, prophecy. This angel says a great deal in these words. Okay, let's go to 22:9 here. All right. Fellow servant of yours, this is beautiful. Have a higher creature, an angel, declaring that he is a fellow servant with a lower creature, mankind. Fellow servant of who? Of course, the one who sits on the throne, God the Father and the Lamb. Okay, we have these two, angel and John. But the angel orients John to a broader inclusion. And of your prophets, of your brethren the prophets. John is one of a multitude of prophets throughout Scripture. Daniel would be another one. And then you know what the angel does? Look at the next phrase. He includes us. You're in the book of Revelation. You're in the book of Revelation. And all those who heed the words of this book. We're heeding the words right now. Now, whether or not we do after we're through, whether you go back and read it or meditate on it or not, but right now, this includes us. We're in the book of Revelation. Those who heed the words of this book. All those who heed the words. Same word we just saw in verse 7. Again, no book is like the book of Revelation, demanding such heeding as this book does. You will note here that the word prophecy is omitted from the previous place. And now the final declaration. Worship God. It said to John, and it said to us. Worship God. Same word for worship as in verse 8. Proskuneo. Face to face. To kiss. It comes from being adore. To worship. God. Theos. The only true God. We're not to worship any creature, including angels. Many people are so impressed with angels, and they worship angels, and whole taken with angels. Okay, let's look at Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read together verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. This is going on in the first century. People more impressed with angels than the Lord. taking a stand on visions it has seen, he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. The point that I want you to see is the ideal of worshiping angels was right there from the very beginning. People just get so caught up with angels. Angels are real, and we have guardian angel. They have a lot of assignments. The spiritual warfare is about the angelic conflict, all these things, but we don't worship them. They're creatures just like we are. Well, not just like we are, but they're creatures like we are. But they're super creatures compared to us. Okay, this brings us to not a long study by any means, but a brief look at worship God, and we'll start here next Tuesday evening. All I give is be part of one point, not even all of it. So we'll just start here next Tuesday evening with worship God. Any questions? Okay, we're just kind of going through these, knocking them out here. All right, not that that's a goal or an objective, but it's happening. Okay. Let's close with a word of prayer. And Heavenly Father, we do worship you. It is our prayer that our whole life throughout the day is a worship of you. That we're cognizant of you and the decisions we make and being led of the Spirit. We're cognizant of you and things that we do, the way we treat one another, whether we love one another. That our whole life is a worship of you. Not just coming and sitting together, studying scripture, or singing, or praying, or giving in the local assembly, but our whole life is a worship of you. The angels see whether or not we worship you day in and day out. Other members of the human race may not even see, but angels see. Fallen angels see that we worship you. The elect angels see and rejoice that we worship you. So, Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, dealing with Jesus Christ's coming, the prophecy, this book, all these things, Father, let them sink into our mind as we think about this book. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.